Welcome to True Wealth, your tangible assets advisor. I'm Kevin, the host. True Wealth is brought to you by Coins Plus in Spokane, Washington. Coins Plus is located at 3201 North Division Street inside the Division Hill Clock Tower Plaza. Coins Plus can be reached in locally at 444-0044. Outside the area, toll-free 877-827-2646, 877-TAP-COIN. Sorry, you guys can tell I'm a little preoccupied here. And Coins Plus has been in business about 20 years. We're your full-service rare coin and precious metals broker, dealer, and depository service. We buy and sell all forms of precious metals, and we specialize in rare coins. We buy and sell all forms of rare coins, and we try to build portfolios that make sense, and over the long haul our customers do pretty well. Markets come and markets go. I think we all know that. We all agree with that. Probably no debate there. We are absolutely experiencing the Trump pump, which is quite interesting because it's you don't know really what's behind it all, and it really is a whole lot of speculation. And it's concerning in a way because what goes up must come down. Although the paper market has sat at a pretty standard level or a pretty basic level for a while. I think the truth of the matter is, folks, I've used the phrase over quite some time that the market will crash up. And that is counterintuitive to most people's thinking. I hear people talk about how the market's going to crash down, basically. And I'm like, it's really a relative term, and here's why. We have been producing currency, fiat currency, as you may be know it as the United States deficit. We have been creating the deficit at $4.5 trillion per year. As a percentage of GDP, as a percentage of our overall obligations, however you slice it and dice it, it is hyperinflation, mammothly massive hyperinflation, $4.5 trillion per year. And essentially what that does, and I think you have enough common sense to understand, the simple definition of inflation is just an increase in the money supply. That's it. Make more money, or I should say, create more fiat currency, you put more in the market, that means the dollar that you have is a smaller and smaller and smaller fraction of what's out there. Therefore, when you look at the overall pool of currency, it has far less buying power. So, folks, I think it's important to understand that because we have got so many things that are kind of tugging right now on us in this country. And we've got Donald Trump in office for a reason. If you recall, I spoke many times before he won, miraculously, about his name. Donald Trump's name means final overriding factor or resource, okay? I personally believe that we are facing a critical series of events creating a critical time. We've got a president that is one of the most unorthodox coming up the pipe, strong, no baloney, straight up, pure-blooded American for the most part. We've got the culmination of a post 9/11, post-911 generation in adulthood, an absolute complete changeover in attitudes towards just about everything, a complete decline in the morality of not only America but the world, which is feeding the uprising of Islam. Folks, this homosexuality and, you know, two same-sex parent homes that are adopting and, you know, transgender bathrooms and people, you know, transgender this and that and encouraging people to, you know, explore their perverted, deviant sexuality as if it is a good thing. A sense of entitlement, a lack of oral self-control, in other words, no verbal self-control whatsoever, and being encouraged by our college professors and our media to be loud and obnoxious and disrespectful. And I'm sorry, I know, folks, I sound like a little bit of a rant here, and maybe I am, but I think most of you know what I'm saying. There's always that small fraction of kind of clueless or, you know, in my opinion, very often, most often, almost always, those who are clueless are liberal in their belief systems. So there's very many liberals out there who would listen to me and say, oh my gosh, this guy is off the rails. He is an absolute kook. Listen how negative he is. Listen how doom and gloom. The world's not like this. The world is a wonderful, sunshiny, beautiful place, as Obama would have you believe. Once Trump, you know, Obama gets in office and he starts laying out the facts. He starts showing the situation we're really in. And he begins to absolutely blast President Bush. Just disrespect and disdain. And I mean, folks, I don't even know where to start today. I have got so much on my mind with this man, with Barack Insane Obama. He has just been appalling in so many ways. He's already bashing on Donald Trump. He's out making comments about how he could have won the election against Trump, you know, and he's changed the whole referendum that came down the pipe this election. As far as he's concerned, it has nothing to do with him, his policies, Obamacare, Hillary, the liberal narrative that's off the goof track. Not a bit, not a bit. It's always people's ignorance. If they lose, it's because you, the electorate, the constituency, is too dumb. You didn't listen good enough. You didn't pay good enough attention. Because after all, you could never make that decision, in their opinion, if you used your brain. Now, I think you and I know that's pretty far from the case. There is a strong referendum. The problem is this. Negative attacks hurt. Negative attacks tear down. I'm not going to deny that Donald Trump ran a pretty brutal campaign. I think from the inside, from his perspective, being an absolute old school black and white thinker who takes things at face value, jumps up to get in a fight, I think that from his perspective, he was under attack. And as a result, he had to respond. Many of us look at it and we know God, we know his word. We've read a million verses about controlling our tongue and self-control and the fruits of the spirit and all that. And those things just don't play into Donald Trump's primary motivational factor. Why? Maybe because he is not, I guess, what we'd call a born-again or evangelical believer. Donald Trump is he's a Presbyterian. Okay, so he's got a whole different set of street rules that you operate by. And he responded in like kind to what he felt was coming his way. So now the attitude is like, well, he was like this, so now we need to be like this. And the Dems, folks, they really are throwing crazy temper tantrums. They really are. They cannot accept what happened. And I know you know the election's over, and I know you know that everything I'm telling you is already a foregone conclusion. However, when you have the president going out and absolutely bashing the incumbent, or I'm sorry, not the incumbent, the president-elect, for all, by all sakes, folks, for gosh sakes, what is he thinking? Can he imagine if George Bush did that to him? I mean, Obama is creating a hate sandwich, okay? He came in hating on Bush. He spent 8 solid years telling us how terrible things were because of Bush. He never bothered saying, and by the way, George Bush coped with 9/11. And George Bush's economy was overall better, or I'm sorry, the economy George Bush gave Obama was overall better than the economy Obama left behind. The thing you got to understand is, you know, we're getting these little surges, these little phony numbers here and there. One year it's third quarter, one year it's second. And oh, look, we gained 51 jobs or whatever. Folks, you got to realize we tanked, we free fell, we lost jobs like, you know, waste products for quite a while until there were just no more jobs to lose. And once those jobs get lost, then what happens? Well, you bottom out. You flatline, okay? It's like there used to be a movie called Flatliners. I haven't seen it, but I've heard of it. I guess it's these guys that would actually bring their body down. In other words, they'd flatline. They'd get themselves to get their heart to stop, and then I think they'd paddle drive themselves back. And the whole point was to get a near-death experience. Okay, well, Obama flatlined the economy because he's a socialist. Socialism doesn't work. I heard today some Yingy Yanger, as I would call him. Maybe I really wouldn't call him that, but I just did. Some ding dong saying that trickle down economics doesn't work. Bottom up economics is all that works. You tell me how that makes sense, okay? Let's be real for a minute. Bottom-up economics is very simple. It is pure and simple socialism, period. That's the only way you can have the wealth entering the economy from the bottom. So if you're going to infuse capital into an economy from the bottom, where do you suppose you get it from? Well, it's pretty simple. The reason trickle-down economics makes a ton of sense is because the people at the top, the one percenters, whatever you choose to call them, the productive members of society, those guys who worked their tail off their whole life and saved, those who got lucky and got a little bit of real estate that worked out, whatever it may be, those people have the money. And those people spend the money. And they need to be encouraged to spend. There's a ton of different ways, tax-wise, to do this. But Barack, insane, Obama, won't do it. He's done everything to freeze the economy. The Fed is chased around behind him trying to clean up his mess by lowering rates lower and lower and lower because he's a flaming, left-winging, socialist, liberal, crazy, bleeding-heart tree hugger, okay? That's why. So they run around to protect him politically. Everything has become politics. You know, when I do this radio show, people say, what's it about? I say, well, if you ask the listeners, it's probably about nothing. And it's probably about an hour of irritation. But what it's supposed to be about is a mixture, a blend of politics and religion and, you know, money and finances and biblical stuff and, you know, but in economics, politics, and fortunately or unfortunately, religion. Well, you can't separate them now anymore. They cannot be separated. They are one and the same. Politics, economics, and religion. And now every single thing that happens gets politicized, just like I said, the Fed. Everything they do has a political motivation. Everything everybody on Capitol Hill does has a political motivation. Folks, I'm going to tell you something, and my belief is sincere. I truly believe that we are heading towards interesting times. You've heard me say this, you've heard me say that, but the truth of the matter is that is where we're going. We have no other alternative course as far as I can see. We're heading off the rails. There's just no other option, choice, or way. I'm sorry, but it is just so cut and dry, simple, in my view. I have a very heavy background in, collegiate and postgraduate level mathematics and statistics, actuarial science to do all the statistical and probability analysis for insurance companies, you know, all kinds of insurance stuff because of that background, general liability auditing, insurance licensing in four different states, Series 6 and 7 licensing to sell stocks, bonds, equities, things like that, and to teach and train those who do so. Experience as a regional manager, eventually for Bank of America, working my way up from the bottom, from credit manager, assistant manager, branch manager, account executive, and then regional manager. And that's through a couple banks. And in the middle, I threw a hiatus in the car business because I love cars and I thought that'd be a cool way to experience my hobby. And I learned that the car business and cars have very little to do with each other. And what I mean by that, the car business sees vehicles as big four-wheel widgets. They don't really appreciate cars. If you love cars, you don't go work for a major car dealer. If you really love cars, like I do, you probably need to save up until you have enough money, and then you can open your own little exotic car dealership. Otherwise, I don't really have, you know what I'm saying. But anyway, it's getting harder and harder and harder to make ends meet out there, and I think that we need to prepare ourselves. We need to use our heads to prepare ourselves to be completely prepared for what lies ahead. I will tell you, the concept of, you know, I guess I don't know quite how to say it. The probability, I guess I'd say, of EMP, electromagnetic pulse bombs, terrible storms without good FEMA backing, which is, you know, interesting because the minute you get FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Act, then everybody expects it and you are no longer looking towards, you know, man to fix their own problems. And then we get the contrast between what happened in Louisiana and what happened in Galveston many, many decades earlier. In Galveston, what happened was a terrible flood hit. In Louisiana, a terrible flood hit. The flood in Louisiana, they sat around and waited for the government to do everything. In Galveston, they rose up and said, we've got to take care of this because there's nobody else that will. And the men rose up and the women helped. And they rebuilt Galveston better than before. in a very, very short period of time, just a few years. So let's just talk a little bit about a few things that are going on out there first. We'll do a little money talk here in a bit. But what I'd really like to touch on a little bit is, first of all, I mentioned already the name Donald Trump, final overriding factor or resource, a man of simplistic mindset, a man who will hire the right people for the job. He's not politically motivated whatsoever. He's already got all of his money, so he doesn't need to do all these corrupt acts when he gets out like Obama is preparing to do. Oh, you say, what do you mean by that? Well, today I discovered on a very public news source through the AP that Barack Insane Obama, when he leaves office, is going to become a full-time activist again. Yes, he was a community organizer, but he's going full throttle now. He is going to be working, first of all, for George Soros. If you don't know who George Soros is, he is a multi-billionaire who uses his money to destroy governments, to destroy capitalism, to destroy, you know, anything you can think of. He uses his money to destroy it because he believes it'll make him more money. So Barack Insane Obama is going to work for George Soros when he gets out. If you don't believe me, look it up online, because you can already go look at the house he rented. Absolutely gorgeous. 80-some hundred square feet. And approximately over $20,000 a month rent plus maintenance. I'm sure it's a good $25,000 a month overall. That's just to put the key in the door and turn the key. That doesn't count the rest of his life. And the fact he will be surrounded by Secret Service and such and so on and so forth, and you got it. The thing about this is he, Obama, is absolutely committed now with this George Soros program to the destruction of Donald J. Trump as president. They are actually, Obama's group is actually going to begin, well, is going to continue on with the campaign. They're going to continue to character assassinate Donald Trump. They're going to just keep running after him. Folks, it's really a scary sight for me because it shows the state of affairs in this nation. I am so disgusted and dismayed by the left. They're being ruthless. They're being heartless. They're being wild. And they think it is all okay. So, you know, I guess from a humanistic perspective, the best option of all is, you know, to just preserve and protect and prepare. So here's the deal. We got Donald Trump's name, final overriding factor or resource. These are critical times, folks. These are truly critical times. God, I believe, put Trump in office at such a time as this for a very good reason. He's very tough and bold, and people will take him seriously. Obama, let's face it, struggled to get any level of respect whatsoever. He gave it up. He gave it away. He was weak. And I know it's like, oh, come on, Kevin, Obama again? Folks, I want you to understand the brevity of this, okay? So I'll just start bouncing through some facts and just kind of let you know what's going on out there, and you can make your own conclusions. And by the way, I will tell you a little bit quickly here about finances. I've been around some people in money for, you know, a bit, obviously in my lifestyle, and there's just certain people that function certain ways. It's very important to understand something. Are you, and you need to be honest with yourself. Use the right words, and here's the words. Are you greedy, stingy, tight, frugal, whatever word you want to use? There's all kinds of words that you can shove in there that are designed to deceive. If you are, if you're truly tight and greedy, of course you would never think that. You would talk about what a great steward you are. But if you are truly stingy and greedy, you will never see the blessing that God has in store for you. I mean, you will stay poor because that's what stingy greed gets you. With God, you need to have, you have choices. Open your hands, close your hands, or relax them somewhere in the middle. Wide open hands, it means you're wasteful and reckless. You're not protecting your money. Tight to the chest means what? You're carrying a football in the NFL. And you do not want a turnover or a fumble for the life of you. And folks, you know what I mean. There are people that handle the money like that. I almost said their money. Guess what? On top of all this, it ain't even their money. It's God's money. It's on loan. It's being borrowed. We are stewards. He allows us to live in this incredible place as stewards for a while. He's given us the most phenomenal living environment you can imagine. So anyway, God's blessings of wealth and riches comes to those whose faith is right. And that is what the book of Proverbs says. You must have the right faith. And those who are greedy, those greedy, stingy people are poor. Obama and the Democrat, you know, he's done this pigeon dance to get attention. You know, anyway, we'll get to that later. So they do these theatrics about sanctions against Russia for interfering with election leading to Hillary's loss. And, of course, they say they've got all this evidence. I don't even know how it works. I wish I did. But we don't really have any evidence that Russia interfered. It's just the ultimate narrative because somehow they've got to try to tie Trump to Russia. I mean, it is unbelievable that Russia feels that way so that they can do whatever they want, I guess, basically. And so we need to realize more and more that whatever happened in this election, it is over. Okay, this continuous rehashing by the left is sickly unhealthy. Folks, what it is like is no different than if you were ever a young athlete or your son or granddaughter or whatever is an athlete. You go watch them and you support them and you realize everything that goes into it. And then when you compete, if you lose, what do? You are, we teach our kids to be a good sport, not a bad sport. And folks, we are seeing droning and whining and just this scathing annoyance from the left about the loss of the election. Folks, there is something to be dignified in loss. You know, and it's, and they're just devastated. They can't imagine 50-some percent of America would be so dumb to elect this, you know, crazy man, as they believe, who's far, far from it. He's just sober and sane, and he says what's on his mind. I remember when the politically correct thing was coming on strong. So just to pound this stuff out real quick. So now Obama and the Democrats are threatening, saying, stating, promising. Folks, you got to think about this. They are saying that they are going to impose sanctions against Russia for interfering with the election that led to Hillary's loss. Okay, what are the consequences for Obama, for Trump, to walk into the office with fresh new sanctions on Russia? Obama is brilliant, folks. He's brilliant because we've got two choices. As the president, Trump does lift the sanctions and probably get absolutely roasted all over the place, or leave them there and have and become instant enemies with Russia. We know biblically all these countries play a role. And we always wonder if it's later down the road. Folks, we've got everything in order now. After I listened today that Obama's new job is with George Soros to be a full-time activist and lobbyist, trying with all of his might to lobby anybody, you know, it's just crazy. We've got, they're claiming James Comey's last-minute announcement on email investigation affected the outcome of Hillary. They've tried everything under the sun, folks. Absolutely everything you can imagine. What James Comey did, I don't want to spend a bunch of time on. He's the FBI director that just announced that they were reopening the investigation on Hillary's emails because they'd found some. I have a funny feeling that they've already covered up a lot for her. I don't think that they went out of their way in any way to try to persuade an election. I think they know darn good and well what the price of all that is. And yet, because they lost, they want to point the fingers anywhere they can. The email, the real issue is that she was so reckless with her emails. They never put any focus on the responsibility for Hillary Rodham Clinton's deceptive email activities. So just imagine what was in the 40,000 emails that she deleted. I mean, we got some pretty heavy treacherous stuff out of the things that, you know, we got out of the non-deleted emails. You know, and they're just not taking responsibility. So we've got to realize that, you know, things are right. So I'm sitting here like trying to figure out which direction to go on the notes here. Sorry about that. Little sidetrack for me there. Had to get a drink, kind of a dry throat. It's that winter stuff. So we just got to keep in mind, folks, the corruption that took place and why she lost. We don't want to dwell on it, but we just want to clear the record. So let's talk a little bit about what's going on out there. Obama, when Trump won, Obama accepted him with open arms. Very gracious, very shocked, you know. He understood it was a referendum on him. Now he's changed the narrative. He's out convincing everybody that's not the case. You know, there's just this huge misunderstanding that took place this election. And then Obama goes on to say today or yesterday that if he was allowed to run again for a third term, and for those of you who don't understand, the president is only allowed to carry two terms. And the requirements for president are a natural-born citizen age 35 years or greater. But two terms is it. And Obama was saying if he could go to the people and convince them to do it, for him to run, he's saying he'd win. This guy has gone above and beyond all my imagination. Folks, you don't talk about doing something that's literally physically outside the laws of the land, the most firm, strict, stringent laws of the land. And that would be what they refer to as the U.S. Constitution, where they have amended it after FDR ran for three terms, won, and died. They amended it to limit to two terms. Three is too much, and they know it. But Obama, in his infinite idealistic wisdom, says no. He's willing to break that rule. Think about that, folks. He's literally willing to breach the Constitution if he can get away with it. That's where he's at mentally. So much for the law. So much, you got me? I'm sure you do. Hillary practiced treason in the most egregious way. So Obama's claiming he could have won if the American people would have allowed him to run and be reelected for a third term. Obama's a very scary man. He, as I said, he's going to work for George Soros. $300 million a year in a budget of activism, a primary piece of which his job is going to be to single-handedly destroy the Trump administration and the White House and then blame it on them or who knows. I hate to even talk like that, but it's what these guys do. So Obama's working with George Soros to stay in Washington, D.C. and head up an activist organization, which is going to be spending $300 million a year to hinder Trump and the government. This will be full-blown, and it is, I've gone through it, full-blown Saul Alinsky's implementation of rules for radicals designed to sabotage Trump. So you've got to be, so their goal is that it doesn't matter. This is the problem, folks. We need to care if we win or lose. And when, you know, I mean, that should matter to us. We think as Christians, we shouldn't care if we win or lose. It's kind of like we just played the game for fun. Life is about winning and losing. And then you get to good old Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals, which I could touch on today, but I don't want to. I want to buzz forward a little bit. So we've got Trump and the government, you know, that'll, you know, are going to be operating on full-blown Saul Alinsky Rules for Radicals implementation, which they're going to try to sabotage Trump, which assures, you know, in their opinion, will be the best option for opening the borders and leaving them open. I'm sure you think, what is the logic? How can that make sense? It doesn't make sense. There is a good reason. And that, you know what it is. I mean, they're just, it's, you know. So, you got the rules for radicals. You got sabotage and Trump committed to force Republicans to fall into fail and implement permanent socialism as much as possible. That's what they want. So we've got everything you can possibly imagine. Except, you know. So, this will lead to either, folks, what we're facing is with his, you know, we've got Obama's push. We've got basically when he walks out the door, we've got this commitment to force the Republicans to fail. Now, think about this. There's two choices, I guess. One of them is to fail and implement permanent socialism. This is where we're at. You have to understand, Obama's powerful. He's respected. He's good at what he does. He's the best at being bad and being evil and lying and practicing taqiyya, the commanded art of deception in Islam. There's hijra, where you infiltrate the enemy with refugees. You create refugees, and then you fill them. You fill the base. And you create issues. So you've got the choice of, you know, fail or fight. It's kind of the fight or flight thing. So we either fail, which, you know, gives, like I said, open borders, and they want Republicans to fail and implement permanent socialism in America, or not, you know, or just kick back and let everything happen around them, or participate is more like it. This behavior will lead to either a socialistic future government. Think about it. A socialistic future government. Or what? Internal revolution. Well, external revolution may occur as well. I predict heavy-duty chaos, starting with Trump's inaugural speech. I think we're going to see people trying to flood over the borders. You're going to see people trying to hide them and protect them and hiding illegals and not giving the system a chance to play out. I mean, they've got an agenda that's rock solid and airtight, and it's based on lies, deceptions, and sin, and that's crazy. So Obama's ready to roll. He has learned the weak points of our government. And so have I. Like their inability to control a true insurgency, which, you know, we're kind of faced with, which would be an educated coup by the world's greatest anti-Muslim activist, which is Obama. Of folks, we've got Obama, every culture, and we've got so much stuff here. That's why I'm kind of skipping around. I'm trying to figure out, I mean, I'm probably not using my time as wisely as I could. But we've got this situation now where we've got an educated coup by the world's greatest Muslim anti-American activist. We are truly in deep trouble. And I'm sorry to get so doomy on this, but this is what I see. Those who say Islam is peace-loving are wrong, period. And now we've got Hizra, where Obama's been opening all the borders, you know. You've got Jihad and Taqiyya and Hizra and whatever else. Hizra is very simply stealth jihad. It's sneaking around, deceiving and lying, saying you're someone you're not, saying you're someone else. It's all this stuff. You know? Every culture needs its own culture. We get, you know, all get so caught up in being this melting pot that we've lost, as a country, we've lost our identity. No wonder our kids don't have any identity, right? So every culture needs its own culture, language, and barriers. The left always opposes this and considers it evil. They are brainwashed. Obama recently ratified this UN resolution, I'm sure you've all heard too much about, which labeled Israel as basically squatters in the rental business or trespassers in the, you know, in the land of Israel. And John Kerry and Obama pushed through this bill, this UN resolution. They claimed it wasn't theirs. Israel comes forward and says, we have hard evidence that you're behind this 100% start to finish. Then they come out with this speech today trying to justify what they're doing. All of a sudden they're telling America, you know, you've got to make all these things right. And so we're sitting here with, you know, struggles again with Muslim control. You know, Obama began with well over $500 million on his first campaign in campaign donations from the King of Saudi Arabia and other sworn enemies of Israel and America. Obama oversaw the Arab Spring, which was the awakening of Islam in the modern day. It was the greatest deception. He was, you know, the propagator of it. I mean, he was behind it, supporting it secretly and quietly, and it's just, it's not even, you know, I don't know. But you've got, you've got the Arab Spring. You've got, then they depose these malleable, effective, non-Muslim Brotherhood leaders in Muslim countries, which include Egypt, Libya, the dismantling of Iraq, Afghanistan, you know, and so on. It's on and off. It's, you know, it's similar everywhere. We've got Benghazi. After that was the shocker. And the refusal to support or rescue our ambassador, Chris Stevens, when he was under terrible fire. You know, what president would ever turn a blind eye to the type of torture and assassination that Ambassador Chris Stevens went through? And then lie himself and have his employees lie about the cause and reason and refusal to identify our, you know, So, sorry. Okay, so to identify our enemies and blame a cheap YouTube video, then lock the supposed video creator up. We've got Obama supporting the Syrian leader, Bashar al-Assad, I think it is, Bashar al-Assad, where he said he's putting a red line in the sand. They crossed it over. They've gassed their people. We've done nothing. Obama has actually helped sneak in tens of thousands of illegal refugees from Syria, the hotbed hub of global terrorism. He acts like, Obama, folks, he acts like a spoiled brat. He's entitled. He's gotten to this level quickly. He's arrogant. He's rude. He tells everyone to abuse his, parents' house because they don't deserve it or have the authority over it anyway, which is basically what America is. It's if he's an American citizen, America is his parents' house. You know, Obama stood up and walked out on Bibi Netanyahu. He oversaw the death, basically, of 26 Navy SEALs in Afghanistan immediately after the supposed killing of Osama bin Laden, where, like I said, I know people that were at the receiving deck, full decorated military, not just service people. You know, we've got so much going on in this country, in this world, folks. We've just got to be prepared. There's so much more that is relevant. We have got a crisis on our hands. For almost 100 years, currency is where it's going to hit, folks. That's where it's going to hit. For over 100 years, our government spent far more than they've earned. It's from John Maynard Keynes, Keynesian economics. Our Federal Reserve System has accommodated the U.S. government's policy of spending to excess by inflating the money supply and keeping interest rates artificially low, which destroys the dollar. It sounds great, but it destroys it. Since the 60s, our politicians have relied on this false theory of Keynesian economics, which they've fed the public's naive belief that the government can provide for them. Our households stopped savings. Savings accounts are at an all-time low in this country, as far back as we have written records. Bank records, whatever. The acquisition of things like a home now are done through just absolutely exorbitant amounts of debt. We've got all this student loan, Fannie Freddie stuff, subsidized mortgages for people who would never qualify for a mortgage from any normal banking institution. And then you get high-risk borrowers. They used to have to pay higher interest rates. All that's gone. That's a bubble waiting to pop. The reckless policies of our government through all kinds of crazy legislation like the Community Reinvestment Act bullies leaders, mafioso style, to lend money to low income, high reinvestment risk people. I mean, we have just, you cannot do this forever. You just can't. It can't, a car to a truck's impossible. I mean, we've got so much stuff just on, you know, it's just a matter of time before borrowers, you know, quit paying their mortgages like we saw in 08. Folks, it's a matter of time. We've got the biggest bubble ever in student loans. As long as houses increased, people were getting out. They've got all kinds of different kinds of loans I won't get into today. When things started to unravel in 08, we well-established firms like Lehman Brothers went to the wall. Others like Bear Stearns and Merrill Lynch were sold at knockdown prices. So, I mean, we have lived in a very rapidly plummeting time. And it is, you know, as we head into the new year, folks, and I'm sorry the show was a little chopped up. I had a couple different things I was trying to juggle on the side. I was actually running my business while I was on the air. It was just kind of a weird day. It doesn't happen very often. I apologize. With the new year coming up, happy new year. Okay. And folks, think hard about getting your money into God's assets. It really is a good time. Metals and coins are solid. The prices are just, they're very compressed. They're very, very compressed. And precious metals, it's just all compressed. The paper market is expounding. It's large. It's fluffy, okay? It's pumped up with air. You don't want to be in it. If you are, get your money out. If you're in a 401k, just put it into a money market or something. Let it sit there. The bubble, we don't know what's coming next, okay? There's so many things I probably, would like to get into. But I'm telling you, folks, and if you want a smart, wise, solid, rock-solid portfolio, give us a call, 444-0044, toll-free 877-TAP-COIN. Folks, we build solid portfolios. It's not just gold and silver. We build portfolios that hold and grow and respond well. And once again, take care, God bless, and we'll be back Friday. Bye-bye.